With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Leeds Up podcast. I'm James and I'm with Rocco.
Hello.
The podcast is proudly sponsored by bassandbly.com. Rocco, this is where I hand over to you. Come on.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this today in case you did this again. And I've not done any more research, but yeah, I'd like to tell the listener that it's an independently run shop with a very proud history. It's been going many decades, and Justin has had it for, well, many decades as well, I suppose now. 20 odd years now, would you say?
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, do support him. It's a fantastic shop. The best camera shop in Yorkshire.
Britain.
Maybe even Europe.
Europe. The world.
Yeah, I've been to South America. I never saw anything like it, to be honest. Nothing to touch Justin's Bass and Bly.
This is it. I mean, they sell the very best in cameras, film cameras, digital cameras, top of the range professional cameras, so like Hasselblad, Canon, Fujifilm, Nikon, Olympus, Sony, all that good stuff. And obviously all the accompanying lenses as well for those manufacturers. And they also sell binoculars. I don't believe Marcelo Bielsa bought his binoculars for his colleague who was looking through the fence, but he should have done because he would have got the very best.
He should. Justin has missed a trick if he didn't send him a pair afterwards.
That's true, actually. Maybe he still could. Maybe he could send some out to Uruguay.
Yeah. Spying's allowed, perfectly normal and accepted, actually, in that region. So we should sort that out.
Maybe, actually, on your next venture to Uruguay, because we were talking about this the other day, and I think you are going to go back, maybe we should get some binoculars and you make it your mission to take them to a...
Definitely, yeah. Well, yeah, it'll be, see if I can get as much publicity as Simon Rickscott when he took in the bucket.
Yeah, exactly.
Leeds, that's Rocco Dean takes binoculars to be honest.
They'll just scrub out the Leeds that bit. It'll be weird bloke from Yorkshire. So yeah, make sure you go to www.bassandbly.com, and when you're next in Harrogate, make sure you go see them as well. They're on Beulah Street, which is very close to the Harrogate Victoria Shopping Centre. So. Yeah, thanks ever so much, Justin and Bass and Bly. So, Rocco, me and you went on a date on Wednesday night, didn't we?
Lit dinner, yeah.
It was literally a candlelit dinner. Like it was exaggerating. The waiter came over and he's like, do you mind if I light this candle? And me and you just sort of looked at each other, peered into each other's eyes longingly.
Yeah.
And we said, yes.
It was a lovely moment.
It was a lovely moment. We went to Rudy's Pizzeria in Leeds, if anyone's been. Or if you haven't been, sorry, just, yeah, make sure you go there. It's really good near the train station. Brilliant, brilliant pizzas.
It is.
I had the Calabresi. What did you have, Rocker?
They
aren't sponsoring us for this, actually, and we're giving them more time than Bass and Bly. I might screw out the name.
I can't remember what I had.
It was
pepperoni or something?
I think it was pepperoni.
Salami,
that's right.
And, yeah.
And we were obviously looking out for the team news coming in for the Swansea game. We're going to get on to Borough as well, by the way, but we thought we'd recap on this. We were looking at the team as our tiramisus landed on the table. That was a brilliant tiramisu.
Excellent. Not as good as a pizza.
No.
But pizza was like fully authentic, like Italy standards.
Yeah.
And amazing.
And you are a man who knows about Italy because you are Italian part.
Yeah, certainly a small part, but I've always identified as Italian until now. Now I obviously identify as Uruguayan.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I didn't realise, because I obviously, you know, we talk about this on the podcast and I've talked to you a bit about it on messages and whatnot, but sitting there properly chatting to you about it, you are obsessed with Bielsa and Uruguay, like properly. I thought it was like some sort of facade. You were just playing up to the microphones, Rocco, but no, you are all in.
I am, yeah. I'm almost a bit embarrassed, really, because I'm...
Don't be.
Well, I know, but like I really care for them like almost as much as Leeds. And I'm probably being kind by saying almost. I am like fully obsessed. Like I can't wait for the next international break. But yeah, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Leeds, my first love, my one true love.
He says that in his Uruguay jacket that he's wearing right now.
True.
But you act.
It does. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I'm a split man.
So yeah, we got the bus down to the ground on Wednesday night. It was a good experience. That I like it. I like the impatient nature of all fans when you get on that slip road that they sort of bust out the doors as well and have to walk right into the ground. Something I like about that. And it was a really, really. I mean, this is going to be so British, this podcast and a lot of it, but it was a really cold night. I was absolutely freezing. I think it was like -3, something like that. Yeah, and there was a lovely tribute to Venables before the game. And that, like, I mean, we can probably intertwine these two games. Obviously, we came out victorious against Swansea, which was a great result. But the first few minutes were absolute bonkers, and it was the exact same against Borough at the weekend. We obviously scored really early. I think it was in the first minute. Dan James' goal was ruled out for offside, and then they were straight up the other end, chipped the keeper. We've all talked about this and watched it, but I was watching back the highlights again just to remind me, because it was all a bit of a blur, because there's been games in quick succession, and it was crazy. It was like a crazy few minutes.
Yeah, I've never seen a start like that ever. I mean, the Dan James goal was it inside a minute? I think it was. And what a pass, by the way, by Rutter. Like, just whipped it into James. It was like, it didn't even feel like a cross. Like, the way he hit it, it was just like a drilled pass. It was absolutely phenomenal. It was the correct decision. I've seen an angle from the away end. He had drifted offside. Bit annoying. But then, straight away from the free kick, they've scored about 10 seconds later. It was that Rutter finish that he always tries and fails miserably to do, wasn't it? Beautiful, beautiful lob. Terrible by Stroik, obviously.
Yeah, it was pretty bad by Stroik, because he sort of looked back to see where Melia was, but he didn't look any further beyond Rodon to see if there's anyone coming up. But there we are. I mean, we came out victorious, as I say, so all was not lost.
It was so cold that I went into the Cop Bar for a pint and missed Rutter's goal.
Oh, you're joking.
Gutted about that. Yeah.
You absolute Wally. No one does that. You're the sort of person I take the piss out of for doing that all the time.
No. And my feet were like ice blocks. It was horrible. So, yeah, I thought it would be safe. And then also, I always think as well, if I do go, then like I might sort of, make the football gods punish me by Leeds scoring, which I can obviously handle. But yeah, sad to miss that one, because it was his first goal at Elland Road, and what a beauty as well. What a touch it was.
Somerville over the last couple of games has been just believable. And I think Pirro's even stepped up as well. I think he's been great. But Swansea, he was brilliant. He was sort of muscling around deep sort of in the midfield. Well, I guess in like number 10 position, but then spreading it out to Dan James, who was picking off a few shots as a result. And yeah, he was Pirro, I've really enjoyed watching the last couple of games. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago about paying more attention to Joe Rodon, which I have been doing, and Pirro in particular as well, because I feel like Farke has been getting a bit of stick for maybe not playing as an out-and-out nine, but I don't think he needs to. I think he's doing his job.
Yeah, it's been one that I've been thinking about. And also, I watched him a bit closer because, yeah, I ripped into him a bit for the Rotherham performance. And I think, yeah, two really good games, really positive. I do, yeah, like now I feel like he can grow into that role. Sometimes he does look like he's supposed, like he never really looks like a number nine playing at number 10, does he? Like sometimes, I'm not saying he looks like a brilliant number 10. I don't, he rarely has, but it doesn't look out of place. Like, I think he's technically good enough to do that role. And yeah, the other thing that I thought about, I mean, like, Rutter's very rarely in the 6 yard box, is he? Or even in the middle of the box. Like, it's like he's leading the line out of possession. But then when we're attacking, Rutter's just sort of hanging back a bit and getting more involved in the build up. And Pirro's the one arriving late and finishing off chances. And it's a pretty, pretty unique tactic, and we've seen it work all season, I suppose. But yeah, I've seen it over these last two games, especially obviously with Pirro's goal for the equaliser against Swansea. Brilliant finish. But yeah, exactly what we've seen time and time again with him, sort of doing that diagonally run, getting on the overlap of Somerville, and yeah, perfect ball by Somerville into him as well, which shouldn't be underestimated.
No, that's right. And I think this will come across as a stupid comparison if you take it at its face value, but Harry Kane does come very deep and get involved in the play. I remember him coming really deep at Elland Road and pinging that ball over the top to Son, didn't he?
Son.
Yeah. And he does it time and time again for England as well. So yeah, but we won't go there as a comparison. But do you feel Ampadu at the minute is a little bit off the boil? Is he off the boil, or is that area of the park being put under pressure?
I've been thinking about this as well, and I just thought maybe Kamara's just basically outplaying him. I don't know, but yeah, upstaging, I think, is the word. Because he's been awesome. I think he's getting better and better. I love him. But maybe I think he probably has gone off the boil.
The roles are different, though, aren't they?
They're definitely different roles. Yeah, but like, I just feel like Kamara's proper shining now. So maybe that's just taking a bit of attention away, or maybe he's not. Like, we're not relying on him as much. Don't know, funny one. But yeah, he probably has. I don't know if gone off the boil's the right word, but he's probably not excelling as much as he did in those opening weeks. Because in the opening weeks, he was looking like Phillips, like he was looking absolutely top draw.
Maybe
he's done out bad though, has he? He's just.
No, yeah. He's just not been as good as he was at the start of the season. And everyone has these funny patches, don't they? And he's played a lot of games. He's played.
Yeah.
We were talking about this on our date night, that he hasn't actually played a lot of top level games, really, has he? When you look at his career history, so you know, maybe he is sort of feeling the strain of it a little bit. But yeah, he's not playing badly, but it's just he doesn't seem as good as he was. But I think he'll come back. And so obviously he set up Rutter's goal in the Swansea game, like brilliant ball over the top. And didn't appreciate this at the time, and you can only see this back in one angle, because when you watch the main replays, you just see Rutter sort of running through as though he's beat the central defender. Have a look at the replay from behind the goal from the cop end, so near to where Ampadu played the ball. But Rutter, he moved in between the centre-back and the left-back. So he's like in a spot where neither of them are marking. And then he starts to run as Ampadu plays the ball. And it's brilliant because the centre-back then panics. That run was absolutely brilliant. And well worth one.
Yeah, I did notice that. I didn't really notice it in the detail that you said, but the way that he bent it around. But yeah, it's clever, isn't it, to find that space. Should we credit Bamford with that, just blindly? Like, maybe he's taught him that, I don't know.
It's the sort of movement,
hasn't he? That he might have made. So let's give that to Bamford. I was a bit disappointed, and this is really nitpicking. I'd have loved Rutter just to take it around the keeper as well and then pop it in instead of just popping it in. It would have been better if he did take it around him as well. Maybe next time, Jorginho.
Like, Rutter's scoring goals is good enough for me, Rocco. Please don't want anything else. Just do that. So I think we might end up flitting back to Swansea, but Middlesbrough. I, as I said last week, I couldn't make the game because I had to go to a choir.
How was it?
It was actually all right in the end. Because Leeds won.
Did she have a solo?
It's because Leeds. No, she didn't. Thank everyone will be grateful for that. I was thinking about this. It'd be worse than waterboarding someone. You know, you're talking the other week about, well, we were talking about interrogating players when they come back to Elland Road who've been out on loan.
Yeah.
In the porter cabin in the car park. She sent my daughter in, sing in the face.
Yeah,
I hope she never listens back to this. She won't. But yeah, it was good in the end, because I think because Leeds won as well. Like, had I been sat there in the evening, I would have been just stewing on the result. But no, it was a good day out. And
Did you stream the game then?
So I managed to get home to watch it and then come back out, which is great.
Oh, nice.
To listen to it, sorry. You can't watch it, can you?
Of course.
And on the way there, we decided to get the train, and there were so many Leeds fans getting on the train, and it was like, and me and my wife didn't talk for like quite a few minutes, and she just looked at me and she's like, "You're really sad that you're not getting the game, mate."
Oh dear.
It's like people with the train beers on there, like, yeah, and the Leeds scarves.
I've had that before. I was on holiday in Llandudno, and we were driving back, and I sacrificed the game because we were coming back from holiday that day, but it would have been too difficult. So I gave my ticket to my brother-in-law, but yeah, we literally drove past Elland Road on the way back to Harrogate while like all the match day traffic, you know, blocked up on the other side of the road. And yeah, it's just heartbreaking, literally, to drive away from the ground. Bad feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bad feeling. Early goal. Middlesbrough, they were passing really well, and which was kind of a sign of things that actually did eventually come throughout the entire match as well. Bit dodgy passing here and there, but overall very good. Sort of imposed.
Housen was brilliant.
Yeah, he was. 35 years of age, you wouldn't know, would you?
I know. He was magnificent in the first 10-15 minutes. I didn't really see much of him after that. But what a start. Like, first 15-16 minutes were just believable. Obviously goal after goal after goal. But the action as well. And yeah, like, Middlesbrough looked like they were going to score every time they attacked. We looked like we were going to score every time we attacked. It was amazing. I can't believe you missed it. It was so good.
Sure.
No, it really was, though. And yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Bloody Meslier in the near post again.
Oh no.
Can we find any excuses for him? It looks just really poor, didn't it? I don't know why he's so weak on his near post.
He beat Archie Gray, which was the first thing that was frustrating. Maybe he could have done better, but you know, you learn from that. But Meslier, it just seems to have happened to him so many times. And it worries me a little bit, because he's not conceding like massive amounts of shots this season, but he's letting in some ones that he should probably get.
Yeah, definitely. He didn't look like he wasn't anywhere near it either. It was a weird one. But what a response. Two back post headers by the big men. It's, ridiculous really, but James did definitely leap like a salmon, and Somerville as well. I mean, the thing there is the desire to get to the ball. Like, obviously it's shocking defending by them. But yeah, they, you know, were so determined to get there and win the headers, even though they're so small. Like, you know, players of that size, you know, high looping balls like that, they could have been forgiven for just sort of standing back and waiting for seconds, you know. But no, steaming in, it was absolutely brilliant, both of them, and very nicely executed headers too.
I like how well we were pressing them in their own half. And I think Byram eventually picked it up, didn't he? And he had to sort of go wider and then wider again to get the ball. And like you say, it was that deflected crossing. I would describe Dan James as a borrower jumping over toddlers. That was kind of the size comparison. But yeah, what a giant of a short man. Brilliant.
Yeah. Byram did brilliantly there. I was disappointed. I didn't realise it took a deflection. Heard Moscow say it took a deflection, which, that saddened me because he'd done so well. But even still, to get to that position and get across in left-footed as well, I'll still give him credit. Probably worth mentioning Byram's tackle in the Swansea game as well that led to...
Yeah, that's true.
Was it the third goal? Must have been.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
That was an absolute cruncher. And fair play to the ref. Like, some refs might have blown for that because it was a proper 90s full-blooded tackle, wasn't it?
That's where it feels a bit like a cheat code having a right-footed player at left-back, because I think you instinctively as an attacking player probably don't expect a right-footed challenge swing in from there. So, it was a great challenge. I loved it.
I wondered whether, like, would Byron be better at right-back, or is he just, like, for some reason, a brilliant left-back? And that's a pretty good point. He does obviously have to tuck back inside some, like, cut back inside sometimes. Would he be that much better? I don't know how he could be any better, really. It's been awesome.
Pretty good point is what Rocco described that as. I'll take that. I'll take that off a published author. Thanks. And what was it like in the ground anyway, overall? Because the reason why I asked that was because Wednesday night felt a bit sort of, don't know, not subdued, a bit sort of, well, yeah, subdued, I guess. I don't know whether it was the coldness or there seems to be a bit seeping in at the minute.
Yeah, Wednesday was very quiet, wasn't it? And Saturday, I don't think so. I think Saturday was good. It can't have not been because of the start that we'd had. Yeah. And obviously Middlesbrough had completely packed out their away end. That's the point, to be fair. Yeah, I mean, Wednesday, Swansea only had about 300 or 400 fans max, didn't they? But they were the only ones you could hear second half, even though they were losing. So that probably says all you need to know about that. Because my ear operation thing, I had to wear lumberjack hat, like big furry padding over my ears to keep them nice and warm and protected. So it wouldn't have been loud. Even if it was loud, it wouldn't have sounded loud to me. But yeah, I mean, the crowd were buoyant first half because it was just the way the game was. Definitely massively improved from Wednesday night. But I think it is true. I think there is some complacency there. And I think, I don't know, I feel like the fact that people are enjoying the Championship and are so scarred from the Premier League, like I feel like they're just sort of happy to just enjoy it a bit, and they're not really that, you know, not bothered, but certainly not as passionate as they've been in, you know, previous years when we've been trying to get out of the Championship.
Is it Wednesday night? It's like there's something about that bump in the road, isn't it? You're sort of a bit done from the week at work and you go to the football ground, it's freezing cold, but like at least Monday night, you know, when you're back at work and you're just like, oh yes, at least we've got football tonight to look forward to. But Wednesday's a bit like, oh, I don't know.
Well, yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? Because in our lives, we've always played home games on a Tuesday. Like Wednesdays have been very rare. It's always been Tuesday nights. So I can only guess that it's Farker's preference for Wednesdays, because I'm guessing clubs can decide the home games. I don't actually know, but yeah, Leeds have always done Tuesdays. And I know Liverpool always used to do Wednesdays when we were kids. My brother's a Liverpool fan, so that's why I've presumed that the clubs decide, because yeah, there seem to be a preference. Maybe it's a bit further on in the week, isn't it?
Did you say before about being disappointed that Byram had his assist taken off him because it had been deflected? Well, is that the same for Gray?
I was just disappointed that it was deflected full stop. And Gray, it's the same, isn't it? Will he get an assist for that officially? Probably will.
I think we should give him it, honour it. He's got an honour that assist.
Completely off topic for a second, have you seen Christensen's goal?
Yeah, I have. I put that in my notes, actually. Yeah. To anyone who doesn't know, Rasmus Christensen scored did he score the winner for Roma?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But it took a deflection off someone, like basically went into orbit and eventually came down and landed in the net. And he celebrated it like it was, I don't know, he'd scored.
That he had screamer.
Yeah, that he'd scored like Trevor Sinclair's overhead kick. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I'm glad you said Trevor Sinclair and not somebody else.
Well, yeah, the scum bastard came into my head and then I was like, no, quickly, revert to something from the 90s.
The safe place.
Yeah, exactly. And Gray was doing brilliant down that right. You know, obviously had that early mistake, but then the rest of the game, we were tweeting, we were messaging between us. And I just think I do think Dara said it a few weeks ago when he was on the podcast that, you know, he could be the best of the lot, and there is high potential that could be the case, that he is the best of the Greys.
Yeah, it sounds crazy to say it, but he does look so good. He's so accomplished at this young age. Like we're running out of stuff to say about him, but yeah, some of the stuff that he does is he's just so confident. He's so assured of himself, like turning out of trouble and just accelerating away from players. And his footwork is always sublime. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him develop. How's Jed Spence gonna get in the team? It's interesting, and I think it must have been on Radio Leeds. I heard maybe a caller suggest about maybe trying him at number 10 at some point. You know, over the course of the long season, be interesting to see. I don't see why he couldn't do it. He's got all the attributes to do it. Yeah, what do you think?
He becomes like Stuart Dallas, but a hyper version of him that can just play anywhere. Yeah. He's just in goal at some point as well. Like freak of nature, just amazing at everything. He has slotted in. We mentioned a game earlier on the season where whether it was a corner or whatever, and he was kind of in the middle up high and he won the ball back and then sprayed it around in that sort of position. And it does make you think, yeah, he could probably play there. I mean, he has slotted into right back ridiculously well, considering it's not his position. And like you say, Jed Spence, how did he get back in? I think back in with a two-footed leg-breaking challenge at Thorpe Arch. Rule him out.
Can you imagine? Yeah, he actually nearly had a scrap as well in front of me.
He's yeah, I know.
Squaring up to people. Good lad.
Yeah, I know. They're fearless. And I don't really know what that guy was. Well, he sort of fell into him, didn't he? That challenge. And then he sort of squared into him. But he didn't do anything wrong. Just one of them.
Nah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, Borough were good, to be fair. I was really impressed. But I don't know whether it was... I'd love like someone more tactical to give some sort of explanation. Because like, were they just that good? I don't know. Like every time they attacked, they just seemed like to be swarming all over us. Something must have been going wrong defensively for us somewhere.
I wasn't in the ground. The thing I love about being in the ground is you do get a full sense of like how a team spreads themselves on the pitch. And the impression I got on TV was that they were kind of pinning themselves quite wide and allowing themselves to have space. So if they could get the quick passes around the middle, then ping it out wide, they could all of a sudden kind of break and move men up the field. I think what let them down is that is kind of the quality of defenders. And because passing out from the back, they were just sort of making awful passes that we were picking up. And because we are so good at pressing, and like Somerville's unbelievable at pressing and unbelievable at working back, that they were struggling against that. That was kind of what I picked up from watching it on TV.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Well, they've got a lot of injuries as well at the moment. So yeah, maybe when they get some players back, I fancy them to be pushing top six. I think they play Ipswich next, or maybe in 2 games' time.
They did remind me of Ipswich, actually. They did remind me of Ipswich in the way that they could just kind of quickly get up the field and also be, as a result of that, kind of show their frailties as well. So they did really remind me of Ipswich. Obviously, we went two-footed in on Melia at the start. We didn't really. But I did put in my notes, he had to make some big saves, and he did. There was a couple where, I think there was one where they were on goal, and he sort of hit him in the legs, didn't it?
Yeah.
He did keep us in the game in some critical moments.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I feel like his near post is definitely a weakness, but it's probably his only weakness. Maybe he could be a bit more assertive on crosses and stuff, but I think he's doing a good job. He's punching a lot more now rather than catching, but I don't have a problem with that. I think his distribution has always been fine by me. Not perfect, but yeah, why should we expect that it is? It just needs to be good enough, and I think it is. I think he's intelligent. I think sometimes he gets a bit of flack when it's not really due, you know, when there's not really a correct ball on and he doesn't release it. I feel like sometimes he gets a bit of a hard ride from the fans, but he'll do for me. I love Melier. Keep it going.
And they had a defender that was injured first half. I think probably one of their key players.
Scummer.
Yeah, exactly. And Clark came on and he was obviously sort of short of the pace of the match and immediately literally just pulled Rooted out with his arm, like just basically punched his legs. So we got a penalty. And and we converted that penalty. Well, I say we. Piro. Who's the hell's Piro? Piro scored an absolute. P-roller scored an absolute thunder bastard. That's how you smash a penalty in.
I know. Well, I wanted to give Bamford his credit earlier because now I have to question whether he's ever scored a penalty when the keeper's gone the right way. Like, I don't think he has. Like, obviously he's missed half of his penalties, and I'm pretty certain that every one that he's scored is when the keeper's just gone the other way. So yeah, to see a penalty like that just smashed in, it was great. It was an absolutely brilliant execution by Piro. It was lovely. I'm not like the penalty seemed really soft to me. And my dad said it was a penalty, and everyone seems to think so.
The replays.
I mean, he was impeded a bit, obviously. He must have been.
The replays from all the angles don't make it look like that bad, but actually, from the main camera in the West Stand, it did look like he pulled him. He literally just grabs him with his arm. Yeah. He's on the floor. Yeah. So I think it was. Great, brilliant goal. And then classic Leeds, we concede from a corner just before half time.
Yeah. We'll blame Sam Byron for that. I think it was as easy as that, wasn't it? He's just, he went on his man tight enough and nice, easy header.
I think Farker after the game had said that they'd previously having Piro on the first post.
Yeah.
And they opted around for some reason, so I don't know why that was. But
I know. Yeah, that was a funny one, wasn't it? That's the thing. Like when I was a kid, I always sort of had noticed that whenever there's a high score in first half, like there's never any goals in the second half, which obviously happened. But like now, because of the Preston 6-4 game and the Nottingham Forest 7-3, that's like out of my head now. So I was actually quite surprised that it wasn't just 7-6 in the end. And it's a bit disappointing, not disappointing, obviously, but like it'd be interesting to see what would have happened if they'd have kept 11 on the pitch. Because it obviously massively changed the game. They had no option but to just revert a little bit and soak things up. And they were still dangerous, obviously, on the counter. But it just made life a lot easier for us. We were basically able to play like we were playing against a bottom team rather than playing against one of the top teams. We had that sort of same sort of dominance, just stroking it around patiently. Did a good job. Good game management, I'd say.
The sending off, I'm not sure on the timings of this, so I might get these wrong way around, but the sending off was quite interesting if you watch back the replay. I think it might be, I can't remember which Twitter account it is, I'm really sorry. I think it's Leeds All Over, maybe. There's a video that they've caught of Ruta celebrating the sending off. Throws his arms up in the air and celebrates it. Well spotted. Yes.
I've never seen that in my life. That's very funny. It's even like, it's quite a funny way to celebrate full stop, isn't it? Like two arms in the air. It's like,
yeah, it's like a sort of relief.
Triumphant. Yeah. Like he didn't have anything to do with it either. Although Byron did, actually. I give him a bit of credit after scorning him for the corner. He charged in with another brilliant tackle that set up the foul, basically. Yeah, he got the ball out to Somerville. So yeah, give him a shout out for that. Good decision by the ref, definite yellow, and a definite second. Like the first yellow was clear as day as well, so they can have no complaints.
Maybe because I wasn't in the ground, but I actually thought the referee had a good game.
Well, I sort of did, but I didn't. There was a penalty appeal in the first half, I think on James. It looked stonewall to me in the ground. Having seen the replay, maybe it wasn't obvious. Yeah. Was it not?
No, I didn't think it was a penalty. I genuinely thought the referee was all right,
how can you complain when he's given the penalty and he's sent their guy off?
Well, exactly. And you know, the Swansea game of the week, that referee was absolutely dreadful. It's like he'd never managed to referee a game at that level. It was just it was abysmal. So
yeah,
poor.
It was bad. Yeah,
but maybe he'll get better. We'll give him benefit of the doubt. We won, so I have no animosity. So the thing that I was talking about that I might get out of order here is so Ruta was through on goal and he had that shot, didn't he? Which a lot of people said he should have finished, which he probably should have done, but the keeper did save it and the ref did miss it. So it was a good save.
It was, yeah. Should have taken it round him, shouldn't he?
You would have got your wish.
Disappointing that he didn't score. Clear through. You'd expect your striker to stick it away. But yeah, good save. End of the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, you talked about it being sort of easy for us when they went down to 10 men. But we were like watching it from afar. It did feel really risky what we were doing, like pushing so many men forward. And I get why, because it's like get another goal, you completely kill the game 4-2 when they're down to 10 men. But it was really risky at the point where they then broke and they outnumbered us and they smashed the ball off the post. And then Rodon, who I've been keeping a close eye on, as you know, he came steaming in and saved the day. So it could have been absolutely disastrous. I thought we weren't managing the game particularly well, if I'm honest, at that point, and we were putting ourselves at risk.
Yeah, interesting, maybe. And well, at the end of the day, yeah, they should have equalised. So it's hard to argue. It was an amazing block. Lucky, well, I suppose it would have been unlucky because it took a big deflection off Stroik, didn't it? When it hit the post, and then it's gone straight to their guy. But yeah, Rodon, he's just like in those sort of recovery situations, like he just always gets there. He's just absolutely brilliant. I love him. I feel like we will sign him. I reckon it's in the bag if we go up, of course. And we need to, even it. Well, could we get him if we stayed down? Could we afford it?
Who knows? But thinking about it, it has been a weekend of brilliant deflections for Leeds United, hasn't it? We've had two that have landed on players' heads. Rasmus Christensen's got one, and then Pascal Strauch saved the day as well. Brilliant stuff. A week of deflections, like it. And we had the usual guest appearance from Nyonto, and Phil Mathers came on as well with his bleach blonde hair. It's one of those where, I don't know if you watched the David Beckham documentary, which it pains me to say it, but it is very good, mainly because it meant I could go back and watch the Leeds game after France 98, just so I could hear all the abuse again. And, it reminded me of something in that where I think Beckham was like, he was sort of scared to take his hat off in training because he'd got his Mohican or something and he was scared that Alex Ferguson. Because like no one knew that Bamford's hair had been bleached until he came on as a sub, and it was like, what?
I didn't know who it was. I honestly, like, I knew it was Bamford when he was getting ready, and then when the subs, like, when he stood there about to come on, I'm like, who is that? Who is it? Like, is it Gruev? Has Gruev dyed his hair? And then, yeah, it was Bamford. I must say, on a less jovial point, like, there was murmurs of boos when he took the pitch. I was just, like, disgusted. Like, it makes me, like, so embarrassed to be a Leeds fan. I don't care if I insult anyone that booed him, because like that's just ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? Why are you booing Bamford? Like, it's not his fault that he's like misses and isn't that great or whatever. Like, what he's put in for this club, like the hard work that he's put in and the achievements as well, you know, helping us get promoted. I mean, it's the same as booing. It's a bit like booing anyone, like Ayling, Cooper, Click, you know, any one of those. Like, if Click had stayed and been playing bad, like, would you booed him? Like, it just saddens me. It wasn't many, but it was enough. Like, I could hear it. You know, plenty of murmurs. So I hope that stops. And he nearly scored as well, which would have been nice. It was a decent effort, wasn't it, from a corner. Good save.
Yeah, it was good. And now that you've sort of stuck up for him, I feel bad to try and make my joke, but I'm gonna make it anyway. But I thought he looked a bit like a foster kid. You know, who's just sort of crying out for attention.
That's why he got booed then.
Why are you booing the foster kid?
Maybe they're just booing his haircut.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
And when you fair say, enough, I'll take it back.
When you say it's not his fault, it's like, what's not? I thought you were talking about his haircut. I was like, well, he's definitely made that decision, Rocco. What are you sticking up for him?
Oh dear. Yeah, I suppose so.
I'm totally with you on getting behind the players. Like, I'm not going to call someone out. I'm not going to call someone out. I just sort of said, you know, like, just forget about him, just move on. But I can't, because they have given us some really good memories, and I'll never write any of our players off in the same way that I get into little arguments with people on Twitter about Luke Ayling. Because it's just, I think we'll talk about this in a bit more in depth and as a topic of conversation, because I think it's wider than, I don't want to go too much into it now, but I've thought about it a lot recently, where there's such a narrative that's pumped by the media, which is all about how we just put a value on players, a monetary value, and that's it. And then the second that they get to a point in their career where they're slightly tired or old, they become disposable. I hate that so much, but we'll come on to it another day.
Yeah. No, good point.
Anyway, so 3-2, great result. Could have been dreadful. I was nervous we weren't going to get back-to-back wins at Elland Road. Undefeated in 11 games now, are we? And we have, this is the best record in home since...
Yeah. 7 wins in a row. Phenomenal. I think it is a fortress. I think it's magnificent. And
it's a quiet fortress on a Wednesday.
Just keep it going. I just think we're good enough to keep this going. We really are. We just have to... I mean, yeah, at some point, we'll lose a game, you know, like those games we used to lose under Bielsa. But I just think Farke's doing a brilliant job. I think, like, the way that he has us playing is, it's very methodical. And it's just it's the way to beat the championship. And when you've got such fantastic players like we've got, the only way is up, surely. But I must say, I'm starting to, doubt my confidence in Ipswich falling apart.
Well, no, same. I think about you every time I see them win.
That goal they scored with the outside of the foot after that move, I mean, oh my God. So, I mean, the thing is, right, they're not as good as Leeds. I'm absolutely convinced of that. That nothing will change my mind. But that doesn't mean they can't beat everyone else. You know, the championship, you know, it's not that strong this season. So, you know, maybe they are good enough to just keep picking up points. I still think they will have a really rocky patch. And I feel like I don't think we necessarily will now. I think we can motor all the way through. I'm sure we're on 2 points a game now, aren't we? Even though we had that slow start. So I think we'll end up on 90 odd. And I'd be very, very surprised and impressed if Ipswich get to 90. But yeah, maybe it's not as nailed on as I thought. We'll see over the next few weeks, I think. They've got some hard games. We've got some hard games.
What we need is Erik ten Hag to be sacked and then call out for the return of McKenna back to Old Trafford, the theatre of shit dreams.
Who is he? What, he was an ex-Man U?
Kieran McKenna his name, isn't it? And he was, I think he was Mourinho's assistant at Man United.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
I might have got that wrong. But he's ex-Man U, he's ex-Scum, yeah. Cool, man of the match and player ratings.
Right, yes. Okay, we have to do it, the two game thing, don't we?
Straight sevens.
I've prepared at least. So, okay. Melier on Wednesday, give him a 6. 6 on day, 2 sixes for Melier.
Yeah, the near post. I can't get over it, fortunately.
No, me neither. Archie Gray, 7 for Wednesday and 8 for Saturday, even though he got skinned for the goal.
Yeah, that's the only thing but overall, I think he was just brilliant in that game.
Yeah, I do.
7 and 8, let's go for it.
Cool. I will go 8 for Wednesday. I thought it was absolutely excellent. And 7 for Saturday. I think he probably was quite as good. Maybe he doesn't deserve it. And especially as we conceded 2 goals.
He got the deflected assist there.
That's true. What do you reckon?
Yeah, 8 and 7.
Okay. This is good. Good start. Rodon, I'll go 7 and 7.
It feels harsh not to give him an 8 for that save at the end.
For the save.
But I think you're kind of right. Well, yeah. I think 7 and 8. Let's do that.
7 and 8. Okay. Strike, I'm going 6 and 7. I'm marking him down for what was an unforgivable mistake for the goal on Wednesday.
I'll tell you what is an unforgivable mistake. Us not calling him Strauk, our listener.
Yeah, sorry.
Who corrected us a few weeks ago in the comments. Sorry about that.
Pascal. We'll correct it. Strauk, 6 and 7.
6 and 7s.
6 and 7s. Happy?
Yeah, well, never happy, but you know.
Okay. Ampadu, 7 and 7.
Yep.
Steady away.
Come on, Ampadu, step it up.
Kamara, I'll go 7 and 8 for Saturday. I thought he was brilliant. Some of the stuff he did He's a great player. Really like him. He's been absolutely excellent.
Is
what
he,
do you think?
Is he a new version of Matthias Klick?
He could be, yeah. Yeah, he's that style of player, isn't he?
He is, but also he sort of digs deep as well. He's like really defensive when he needs to be. He's strong.
My brother, who is a Liverpool fan, came to the Plymouth game and he loved Kamara. He thought he reminded him of Fabinho.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, so moving up to the Fantastic Four. I'll go. So James, I gave him a 7 for Wednesday. He did score.
You're a horrible man.
Should I give him an 8? He did get on the score.
I'm going double 8s for Daniel James.
What did I give him? 8 and... Yeah, 8 and 8. Sounds good.
So we need to talk about Dan James a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dan James, I think, is one of my favourite players at the minute. I think because of... We've talked about this obviously already, but I want to say it again. I think because of his whole attitude and how he came back to Leeds and how he's really pushed... sort of better himself and playing regular football, and he clearly loves being at Leeds. I just think he's doing a great job, and he's getting us up the field. He's playing well, crossing the ball really well. He's been played out wide, not playing as a forward, and he's doing the job that he was signed to do, and he's doing it very well. And he's scoring some goals here. Has he scored like 4 in a row at home?
First non-striker to do that since Peter Lorimer.
Yeah, exactly. Not bad. That's amazing. I have a lot of love for Dan James. He's my favourite at the moment, which is probably a bit harsh on Somerville and Ruta because they've been incredible, and Kamara and everyone else. But there's something about Dan James, I think, just in the way he's really sort of dug in and got back into the club. I love it.
Absolutely. I mean, scoring goals speaks for itself. But I've called myself out hundreds of times for having no faith in him at all, even in the Championship. The thing that impresses me most now is his technical ability, like his crossing is excellent, and he's even taking our corners. He's the corner taker. It's amazing. And his corners are
good.
And
they've been great
as well.
Pascal didn't score that one, did he? That was a great corner. So was it the first half? I think it was.
Yeah, put it right on his head. Good. Okay. Happy with that eulogizing. Somerville, I'll go, I think, 7 for Wednesday, and then 8 for Saturday.
Yeah, he's like, for me, he's just been so good and consistent. I'd be tempted 8s and 8s, but it's not as fresh Wednesday, so.
Well, I just thought Wednesday, we didn't really do that much. I didn't think we played well, particularly. We did enough to win the game. Somerville.
That's fair, yeah.
I mean, he got a lovely assist, and I mean, he's looking fantastic, but not a lot came. Well, yeah, I mean, he's, yeah, got the assist. Should we say 7 and 8?
7 and 8.
Go with my gut. Rue, 7 and 7.
See, it feels a little bit harsh.
Well, should we give him 7 and 8 and
I mean, he scored in the last two games. He's been playing.
He's been playing. Sevens is harsh.
I think he's really stepped up. I think he's been really good.
8 and 8.
I'm tempted to go 8 and 7.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Because I watched back the extended highlights, and he gets so much in that Swansea game. I think he had a really good game, and he was integral. So yeah, 8 and 7 for me.
Yeah. Okay. And then Jorginho, with 7 and 7.
Would you not say 8 and 8?
Maybe an 8 for Wednesday. Not that touch Saturday.
Touch on the Wednesday, magnificent.
Touch is the touch, but he didn't take it around the keeper. He squared
one to Somerville as well, who Somerville missed, didn't he, on the Wednesday? It was an intricate pass around the box.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Somerville should have scored that. And he's won the penalty on Saturday. He got the cross in for James for the disallowed goal on Wednesday. Did he create anything else? Did he create the third goal?
He creates everything of ours. That's right.
10 and 10.
Yeah, exactly. Just give him 10 for the rest of the season.
2 8s.
2 8s. I'm arguing that one. I haven't checked my scores, but we predicted at the start of the season, but that has nothing to do with it.
No. Sack the subs off. I can't even remember.
Bamford gets a 4 for that hair. And Nyon, I'm not so happy with him at the minute. There still seems to be an attitudinal thing going on. But we'll see. All seems a bit odd, doesn't it?
Yeah. So do you know what? It worries me that Somerville's so close to him, if there is an attitude problem going on. Like they're like proper best mates. And if Nyonto's just not all in, sorry, Jesse. I don't know. Could he?
I don't know. Somerville's been bought into the club for a lot longer than Nyonto ever has. Came to us as a Premier League player, didn't he? Whereas was Somerville in before that? I think he was he? As a youngster?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think he was maybe bought the summer of when we got promoted, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Green and blue shirt, rings some bells. But anyway, what's next? Right.
The Bass and Bly man of the match.
Oh, is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah. What do you think?
That's a good idea.
I didn't want to sully his name by naming the ratings after him. But man of the match is safe.
I don't know if legally we could do this, but anyway, let's try it and see what happens.
He has to give away a free camera to the winner.
Yeah, that's it. Man of the match. Wednesday, I think Pirro for me. I've already talked enough about that. And at the weekend against Borough, I am going for Chigray.
Lovely. I'd like to go for Byram on Wednesday night. Thought it was great. And Archie for Saturday. Great performance again by him. Lovely, lovely lad, lovely player. Everything's lovely.
Good stuff. Well, it tops off like a great weekend. And we're obviously playing Blackburn next week away. Always brilliant allocation for that for the away fans. So there's going to be a lot of people that hopefully have a cracking day out over in Blackburn. And their form's a bit weird. They beat Stoke, beat Birmingham, lost to Sheffield Wednesday, beat Norwich, lost to Swansea. So I don't know, bit of a weird one.
Yeah, I feel like we obviously should have enough to beat them. But it is a tough game. It's a tough.
Oh, is this against Blackburn, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So we'll see. We should win. You'll go there confident. We're just so hard to control. Like that front four, like there's just so much talent in there. Like they're just too good for this level, really. Like interesting to see what they do in the Premier League, and maybe they won't tear the Premier League up, but they're definitely tearing this league up. It's phenomenal. So yeah, we'll go hopefully unchanged, no more injuries, and go smash them.
It's one of those where if one of them's out as well, you do have Nyonto or Bamford come in, and I mean equally at this level they're both fantastic as well. When Nyonto's firing it, I think it'd be great. And Bamford is a good player at this level. Like it's just his finishing that's been letting him down. And so yeah, we'll see. And so have a great time, anyone that's going to that. And fingers crossed. And one last thing, unless there's anything else, Rocco, but we've got a new writer on the blog this week, haven't we?
We do, yeah. Picked up a bit of young talent to start writing matchly.
Well, the photo of him is very young on the
That's website. True. Yeah, it's just that it was taken in 1965. Yeah, my dad is he's like for years he's written preview and post match articles, just write ups basically. They're pretty entertaining. So I asked him if he wouldn't mind us putting them on the website, which he agreed to. So yeah, the preview is up, and I'll put his post match from Borough. I'll do that now. So it should be live for the hordes of people can rush to our website, read his review, and buy my books and some merch.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I know it's great having David Wright on the blog and Welcher for that. So thanks ever so much for it. And I really enjoyed reading the preview. And make sure you go to leadsthat.com and you'll be able to read that. Is he going to be doing it regularly, or have you just bullied him into this one then, Rock?
No, he does it anyway, so it's just whether I stick it on there or not, and I will. I'll keep doing it. So,
oh, that's great. No, fantastic. So, look forward to that. And, as I say, if that's going to be regular occurrence, go to leadsthat.com and you'll be able to
to read
brilliant articles. So good stuff. It's not an article, is it? I better correct that. It's previews and
post-match reviews. Is it a review or analysis?
A preview and a review. Yeah. It's nice.
He puts the review in preview. Oh dear. On that note, should probably go. But have a great week, everyone. And we'll see you after the Blackburn game. Take care. Have a good week.
Network.